You know, as you read God's Word, as you open it, you'll see that it's like a gallery of pictures. It's like a gallery of different pictures. And God's Word draws all kinds of pictures to describe what the Christian life looks like, how it's supposed to be lived out. At times, the Word of God paints a picture of being a Christian by comparing it to being like a sheep in a fold. In other places, the Christian life is compared to a bride in a wedding. Then there's places in God's Word where the Christian life is compared to a stone in a building. Still in other places, it's compared to being like a boxer in a boxing ring or a soldier in an army. But tonight I want us to look at a passage of Scripture together in Hebrews chapter 11 that paints a picture that compares the Christian life to being a runner in a race. I want to invite you to take your copy of God's Word and again turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Now we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. There's a lot of debate over that, but we do know who the divine author is. Amen? And that is God Himself. And as He begins to describe to us what it means to know Jesus, as He begins to describe to us what it means to follow Jesus, He tells us that we are like runners in a race. As you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word as we read verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endureth such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word. Lord Jesus, we ask You to speak to us, to move us, to stir our hearts, to convict our hearts. Father, I pray that You would move me out of the way tonight so that Your people can hear Your voice as You speak to them tonight. Father, I pray for a fresh anointing to be upon the preaching and teaching of Your Word tonight. Lord, I pray that as You speak, that people would be convicted, that lost people would be saved, that Christians would be strengthened. For we pray this in Your holy and precious name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want you to think of yourself in a race. Raise your hand if you've never been in a race. Wow, all y'all been in race. Well, that's, I would have thought there'd be more hands. But I want you to picture yourself as being in a race. Being in a marathon. You see, the Christian life, it's not a rest, but it's a race. It's a fight. And the word used for race in this verse, in verse 1 of our text tonight, is the Greek word agon. It's where we get our English word agony. You see, the Christian life demands that we be disciplined, that we be as disciplined as an athlete, that we have endurance, the endurance like a marathon runner, and the determination of a champion. It's an agonizing race. It's not an easy race. It's one that we have to work at. It's one that will cause us to get sweaty. It's one that we've got to give every fiber of our being to. It's a race that demands everything within us. Now, I want to encourage you tonight to understand two things about this race. And this is introduction material. But this race is a personal race. It's a personal race. In other words, the race that God has laid out for Matt Smith is different than the one He's laid out for John Motes. The race that He's laid out for John Motes is a different race than what He's laid out for Buck Hansen. The race that God has laid out for Julie Smith is different from the race of Judy Stinnett. God has given each and every one of us a race to run. And it's a personal race. The Lord convicted me so bad, probably about 2 years ago, I began to compare myself to other ministers. And that's a trap that ministers can get into. You can find yourself doing that at your place where you work, or the circles that you run in, that you're involved in. We'll compare ourselves to other musicians, won't we? And God just broke me and said, Matt Smith, I want you to run the race that I've set out for you to run. Don't try to run this guy's race or that guy's race, but you run the race that I've called you to run. And it just set me free. It just set me free. I wasn't threatened by anyone. I wasn't intimidated by anyone. I didn't want to be like anyone else. I wanted to run the race that God had set out before me. It's a personal race. But not only is it a personal race, it's a permanent race. In other words, once you enter the race, you're in it until the day you die. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you'll win." You see, every Christian is going to finish the race, but not everyone is going to win the race. This passage of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, is our strategy. The author of this passage tells us several things that we ought to keep in mind as we run the race that God has set out for us to run as individuals. And these things will encourage you. They will help you. They will keep you focused. They will help you not only to finish your race, but to win your race. I don't know about you, but I like to win. If I'm going to be involved in something, I want to win. The Christian life, I want to finish strong. I want to be able to say, I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the race. I've won. I want you just to picture in your minds a Colosseum. A Colosseum filled with thousands of people. 100,000, about 100,000 people. We'll just say 100,000. And they're cheering for you. They're cheering for you. Notice what God's Word says here. It says, since we are surrounded by what? Such a great cloud of spectators. Is that what it says? It says we are surrounded by what? A great cloud of witnesses. And you say, what's the difference? What's the difference between a spectator and a witness? I'm glad you asked that question. The difference is a spectator just sits in the stands. That's all he does. He's never ran a race before. He just sits there. But a witness is someone who has ran the race, finished the race, and won the race. Imagine that you're running in a race, and you've got at least two people who are cheering you on. There's Joe Blow sitting over there. Never ran a race in his life. He's overweight. He's got a 44-ounce Dr. Pepper that he's sipping on. His hands are orange from the Doritos that he's been eating. He's licking his fingers. And he's hollering, Frankie, go! Go, go! You can do it! Now, is that guy going to encourage you? Are you going to be moved by Mr. Doritos? Probably not. But as you look at Mr. Doritos, look over to his left and you'll see someone different. You see sitting next to Mr. Doritos, Usain Bolt. Anybody know who Usain Bolt is? Usain Bolt is the fastest man in the world. He's from Jamaica. He knows what it's like to be in a race. He knows what it's like to train for the race, to be in the race, to run it, and to finish the race, to win the race. And he stands up and he says, go, 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 you can do it. You can finish the race. You can win the race. Now, who is going to encourage you the most? Joe Blow, who's never been in a race, still licking his fingers from his Doritos? Or Usain Bolt? Bolt's right. Because he knows what it takes to win. Who are these witnesses that the author of Hebrews is talking about? Well, they're saints of old. They're faithful pilgrims of yesteryear who were described to us in Hebrews chapter 11. They're our spiritual forefathers. They are those Christians who went before us. And the author says that they are encouraging us. They are cheering for us to run the race, to finish the race, and to win the race. You say, wait a minute, how can that be? We're separated from our loved ones. We're separated from the saints of old. No, we're not, dear friend. The Bible says that we are seated together with them in the heavenlies. You see, we are seated with them in heaven. And they surround us here on earth. As far as God is concerned, we're all one body. We're all one body. We're all together. I heard about a man who lost his wife, and she was a godly woman. He was a godly man. And as he picked out her tombstone and what he wanted it to write, what he wanted it to read, he chose these words: "Death can hide, but not divide. You are but on Christ's other side. You are with Christ, and Christ is with me. United still in Christ, we are." Don't you thank God tonight? Don't you thank Him that we have a great cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us, that are encouraging us, that are cheering us on? They're exhorting us to finish the race. You know, I don't know about you. I'm getting old. I just turned 39 last week. That's young, isn't it? I remember when that was old. But the older I get, the younger all ages get. But the older I get, and the more I live this Christian life, I find that I need more encouragement. I need all the more encouragement. The longer I live, the longer I live for my Lord, the more encouragement, the more cheering that I need in order to run this race and to finish this race and to win this race. You see, we're running on the enemy's territory, in the enemy territory. He's got the home field advantage. It's Satan's home court. He has the home field advantage, and we need all the cheering that we can get, all the encouragement that we can get. Some of the greatest encouragement for living the Christian life is found in the Old Testament. And I think it's a shame when people say, well, I'm a New Testament, we're a New Testament church, and all I read from is the New Testament. You're missing out if you're not reading the Old Testament. There's so much encouragement. There's so many that we can read about. Heroes of the faith who have gone on before us. Some of the greatest lessons of the Christian life, some of the most inspiring stories in all the world are found in the Old Testament. You're here tonight. Maybe you're thinking about dropping out of the race. You feel like throwing in the towel. You're thinking about just quitting altogether. You've lost your family. Times have gotten tough. You've lost your health. You've lost your job, or you feel any day now the boss is going to come and say, we got to let you go, and you feel hopeless. And that's when Job stands up. And he says, dear friend, God is faithful. I know what you're going through. I've been there myself. I've lost my family. I've lost my job. I've lost everything. But hang in there, my friend. God is faithful. You're sitting here tonight and you're saying, you know, life has treated me so unfairly. Life's been terrible. And that's when Joseph stands up. And he says to you, friend, life wasn't always fair to me either. My brothers sold me. They left me for dead. My boss, he cast me into prison because I would not be unfaithful with his wife. And yet I learned that God is good, even when life is not. Hang in there. Keep running the race. You can do it. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying to yourself, you know, I'm facing the biggest challenges of my life. The biggest challenges that I've ever faced in my life, I'm facing them right now. And that's when David stands up. And David says, man, I know what it's like to face giants. I faced one myself, but by the power of God, I knocked his head off. Hang in there. Don't give up. Keep running the race. You can do it. Friend, the first thing to remember as you run this Christian race is remember the great cloud of witnesses that are cheering for you, that are encouraging you, that are pulling for you. But secondly, as you run the Christian race, remember the weights that entangle you. The NIV says that the sins that so easily entangle you. King James Version says the weights that entangle you. It was interesting as I began to prepare for this message, as I began to study the passage that we're looking at tonight, that when runners would run in a race, a lot of times they would run almost naked because they didn't want anything to weigh them down. They didn't want anything to trip them up. Now, the author of Hebrews says that there are two things that will entangle you in this race, that will trip you up. He talks about a weight. And a weight is anything that keeps you from becoming everything that God would have you to be. Now, a weight in and of itself is not a bad thing. You see, there's nothing wrong with wearing a coat. But when you're running a race, you probably don't want to wear a coat, do you? It'll weigh you down. It'll slow you down. Likewise, there are things in life that in and of themselves, they're absolutely harmless. They're good things. They're good things, but if you allow those good things to keep you from experiencing the best things of God, then they're not good. You see, there's nothing wrong with television. There's nothing wrong with being involved in the community, civic organizations. There's nothing wrong with Little League baseball, golf, fishing. They always go on to meddling. There's nothing wrong with those. Nothing at all wrong with those. Nothing wrong with having a hobby. Nothing wrong with reading books, listening to music, collecting baseball cards, collecting coins. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. But when they keep you from the things of God, when they keep you from reading this book, when they keep you from being faithful in God's house, when they keep you from the work of the Lord, they're a weight to you. And they're hindering you from finishing your race and from winning your race. Too many Christians are running as hard as they can, but yet they're staying in the same place because they're weighed down. They're weighed down. I heard about a drunk. He was sitting in his boat one night and he grabbed his oars and he was just going as fast as he could, but he couldn't understand why he wasn't making any progress. At least it didn't look like things were getting any closer. His destination wasn't getting any closer. And the next day when he woke up, with a headache, of course, he looked there to the side of his boat and he saw a rope. And he realized he never unhooked the rope from the dock. Does that sound familiar to you? I would like to teach Sunday school, but I would like to sing in the choir or be involved in the orchestra, But I know there's a need in the children's ministry. But I know Mike and Sharon are pouring their hearts into the student ministry, and there's a need there I could teach. But I want to serve on a committee. I want to be used by God. I want to work for the church, but I just have too many irons in what? The fire. We say it all the time. Man, I'd do it. Brother, I'd help you out, Mike, but got too many irons in the fire. If you had a dollar for every time you heard that, you'd be a rich man, wouldn't you, brother? Friend, what you call irons in the fire, and what I call at times irons in the fire, the Bible calls weights on your legs, and these weights are keeping you from being everything that God wants you to be doing and everything that God wants you to do in and through Him. You see, for us as Christians, we have a very unique problem. It's different than anybody else's. And that is, our problem is not between choosing between good and bad. That's not our problem as Christians, choosing between good and bad. Our problem as a Christian is choosing between what's good and what's best. That's our problem. See, there are many things that are good things, but they're not necessarily the best things. There's nothing wrong with them, but they're just not the best things. They're not what God wants you to be involved in. Good things are bad things when they keep you from the best things. Just for example again, TV. Inherently, there's nothing wrong with watching TV. Nothing wrong with it. But so many people, instead of reading God's Word, instead of studying their Bible, they watch television until their brain is the size of a pea and their eyes are as big as coconuts. I mean, they watch that too so much. And it keeps them from reading it and studying the Word of God and applying it in their life. Someone once said that the television is the plug-in drug. A couple of years ago, the Christian Medical Society said this: the primary danger of television lies not so much in the behavior it produces as in the behavior it prevents. It's a good thing that's become a bad thing because it's keeping so many people, so many Christians, from the best things. I want to encourage you tonight to look at the organizations and all the activities that you're involved in and just ask yourself one question. In terms of making a real, lasting, eternal impact on this world and in terms of being used by my God to the fullest, are these activities the best for me? And if they're not, then I would ask you, why are you wasting your time? Why are you wasting God's time? Look back with me in verse 1 of our text. It talks about being ensnared by sin. Ensnare is a word that refers to a vine that would secretly wrap itself around a tree. You see, sin, my friend, will make you fall flat on your face. Many of you might remember one of the greatest tragedies of the 1984 Olympics. Mary Decker, she was an American runner, was going to win the gold medal, was approaching the finish line, and she got tripped up and she fell flat on her face. Not to finish the race. Afterward, she was interviewed by a reporter. And she said, "I was right where I wanted to be in the race until I tripped. I saw the finish line. The gold medal was mine. I was right where I wanted to be until I tripped and fell down." I wonder how many of you here tonight have gotten to a place in your Christian life where you were just where you felt like you needed to be. Not that you were complacent, but you were growing, you were thriving, you were serving God, then a sin trips you up. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:19, "Let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness." As you run the Christian life and as sin comes across your track, don't ever try to jump over it. Don't ever try to jump over sin. Don't ever try to see if you can run through it, if you can plow through it, but run around it and avoid it altogether. Avoid it. Thirdly, as you run your race, remember the friend who enables you. Remember the friend who enables you. Remember the witnesses that encourage you, the weights or the sins that entangle you, and then finally, the friend who enables you. Verse 2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on who? Jesus." There is one race that a friend can help you in. And who is that friend? That friend is Jesus. You have a friend in this race, and His name is Jesus. And Jesus is going to be beside you. He's going to be running with you every single step, every stride. And because He's running beside you, you can run with constancy. You should run your race with determination, with resolve, with resolution. Make up your mind right now that with Jesus by my side, with Him by my side, I will not quit. You see, when you get into the Christian race, it's a marathon. It's a marathon. It's not a 10-yard dash. It's not start and all of a sudden, man, it's over. It's a marathon. And you're to run this race with perseverance. Did you know that there are over 14 million Southern Baptists? There are over 14 million Southern Baptists, but I guarantee you can't find half of them in the church on Sunday morning. You've heard Brother Sonny say many times that even the FBI can't find a lot of Southern Baptists. They're Christians who have quit running the race. They got discouraged. Somebody hurt their feelings. Something didn't go the way they wanted it to go, and so they quit because of hard feelings. Maybe they quit because of a sin in their life. Some of them quit because of indifference. Jerry Falwell once said this when he was still alive. "You can determine the greatness of a man by what it takes to discourage him." You can determine the greatness of a man by what it takes to discourage him. If you want to know just how close you are to the Lord and what kind of Christian you really are, then ask the Lord, ask yourself this question: what would it take to keep me from coming to church? What would it take? What would have to happen in my life for me not to come to church? For some of you, just let one person say one wrong thing and you'll never be back. For others of you, just let the church pass one vote, one thing that you disagree with, let them do that and you're gone. I'll never step foot back in that church. Just be told no one time. We appreciate you. That's a great idea, but right now we just can't do that. Just be told no one time and you're gone. Again, never to step foot in God's house again. Let some sickness come over your body. Let your health be destroyed. Lose someone you love. Find out that you lost your job. My friend, when times like that come, that's when you find out what you're made of. That's when you find out what kind of faith that you have. But some people, things like that will happen, and man, they'll walk away from God and say, "God, if you loved me, you would have never allowed this to happen in my life. And God, you turned your back on me, and because you turned your back on me, I'm turning my back on you. God, I don't want anything to do with you. I've made up my mind. I have made up my mind, and I hope that you have made up your mind that you want to be like the Apostle Paul, so that when you come to the end of your life, that you can say, 'I have fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I finish the race. Listen, Jesus is not timing you with a stopwatch. He's measuring you with a yardstick. And it's not how fast you run. It's how far you run that counts. Not how fast you run, but it's how far you run. That's what determines whether or not you stay in the race and you win your race. Not only must we run this race with consistency, but when we look to Jesus, we must run it with concentration. In any race, the most important thing is to keep your eyes focused on the goal, on the finish line. But some of you, you've taken your eyes off of Jesus. You know, there are times in all of our lives when we take our eyes off Jesus, when we get discouraged. We start looking at someone else. We begin comparing ourselves to those around us. And we take our eyes off of the Lord and we place them on someone else and we get discouraged. I remember several years ago, I determined that I was going to begin an exercise regimen. I was going to join Gold's Gym and begin this exercise regimen, and it lasted for about a week. But while I was there, I remember the first day I got in the gym. I went to the treadmill. Picked me out a treadmill. Nobody was beside me on either side. I said, this is the perfect one. I got on there, I turned the dials or pushed the buttons and got it at a good speed. And I didn't want to run. I just wanted to do a little bit of power walking. You know, you just move your arms and get your heart rate going. And I thought, you know, if I can do this for 30 minutes, I'll feel like I accomplished something. And so, man, I'm standing there on that treadmill, and I'm doing a little power walking. And I'm having a good time. I'm feeling good about myself. I feel good. Man, this is going great. And I'm in there for about 15 minutes. Man, everything's going wonderful. It couldn't have gone any better. And then this guy comes in. And I could tell by just looking at him that it was probably his first time being in the gym too. And he walks over by some weightlifting equipment, some machines. And he goes to one of the machines where he could do some bench press. He takes a little thing out and determines what kind of weight he's going to lift, about 45 pounds, 40, 50 pounds. And he begins to pump that weight. I mean, he's doing just like this. And then he stops and he leaves. I never saw him again. I was only there a week, but I remember thinking, man, I'm sure doing a lot better than this guy. I'm doing pretty good. Here I am, I'm in this for about 20 minutes now. And again, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling great. I feel like I can do this for an hour. And no sooner than I'm thinking that, this guy walks in. He's got on a gray shirt, black letters, A-R-M-Y, tightly stretched across his chest. And it wasn't because he was fat and wearing too small of a shirt. I mean, he was ripped. And he comes right beside me, of all people. And he gets on the treadmill, pushes the buttons many more times than I push my buttons. And I mean, that treadmill is moving out. He puts it at about a 75-degree angle. He's running uphill, man, and he's running just as fast as he can. I mean, I've never seen anybody run so fast in all my life. And at this time, I'm just kind of holding on to the treadmill. You know, my legs, they feel like jello, and I'm like, whoo! Man, this guy, he's moving out, but I had enough. You know, I got one more minute. Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And I look over there at him. He's not even out of breath. He's just trucking it. No expression on his face. He's just going as hard as he can. He's not even breaking the sweat. And I finish running my time. I've gone 30 minutes. And man, he's still running. He's probably still running. I don't know. Hadn't been back to Gold's Gym, but if you go there, he's probably still running on that treadmill. But I remember I walked away. I felt so defeated. I did. I thought to myself, I will never be in shape like that man is. What happened to me? What happened? I took my eyes off my goal. And I begin to compare myself with someone else. In church, so many times we do that spiritually. We take our eyes off of Jesus and we begin to focus on someone else, something else, and the devil comes in and he defeats us. Listen, if you're going to run in this race, if you're going to finish this race, if you're going to win this race, then remember the witnesses that encourage you. Remember those of faith who have already gone on before you. They're cheering for you. And they're saying, you can do it. Hang in there. Don't give up. Remember the weights that entangle you. Deal with the sin in your life and whatever it is that's keeping you from moving forward, for continuing in your race and winning your race. And then finally, remember the friend who enables you. Fix your eyes upon Jesus and realize that with Jesus, there is absolutely nothing that you cannot do.